Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 325, as this week we bring you the January 12th, 1985 edition of World Class Championship Wrestling on television. Hello, you people, and happy Thanksgiving. I am Pat McNeil. Normally, I am joined by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, Jim Valley. As you know, Jim has undergone some health setbacks these past 3 months. The current update is that Jim is relearning to walk and doing a heck of a job of it. Filling in for Jim on this holiday is our good friend Brad Kane, better known as Lodi from World Championship Wrestling and currently on the scene in many other independent promotions. Lodi, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, travel to 1985, and relive Springsteen, Madonna, way before Nirvana?
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving to all you guys out there. Let's get this thing on the road.
Yes, let's. One more update from Jim. I know that this is Thanksgiving's tough for Jim because he has to be at the rehab center and nobody's allowed to visit him today, not even his wife. But he did send a note here. Pat, tell everyone I am working hard to get healthy and stronger, and I can't wait to talk to them again. Enjoy Thanksgiving, and everyone give thanks for your health, your family, and the Black Scorpion. Jim. Thank you, Jim. We really appreciate that. It's good to hear from him, even if it's just a note here. Let's see what else. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback for everybody who wants the ad-free shows and access to all 325 episodes of Wayback Playback, plus occasional bonus stuff. Check out all the tiers we have to offer at patreon.com/WaybackPlayback. All right, Lodi, I know you have a wrestling school. Tell me about that and everything else that you've been up to recently.
You know, COVID threw a monkey wrench into everybody's wrestling plans, obviously.
Yeah.
And as we shut down the first week of March, I had 16 shows on my books, which obviously all got canceled. Yeah. And I'm just really looking forward to going back to wrestling in front of some fans again. I did a show down in Georgia a couple weeks ago at the State Fair for 2 days, and I've got a couple coming up. I'll be in Dallas first weekend in September, then I'll be in Charleston, South Carolina the following weekend. And as you mentioned, my wrestling school, I've had a wrestling school now for several years, and I am very proud of my kids and how far they've come. And the hard thing, I tell them this frequently because I don't want them to get frustrated, they're busting their butt in practice, and they're all you know, ready for matches, that kind of stuff. And most of them had already been working before COVID. Mm-hmm. And I tell them I'm impressed at them to be able to come in 2 and 3 days a week to practice when they've got nowhere to go and practice their craft. You know, it's like if you got practice every day, but there's never a game.
Yeah.
It's just I'm thankful that they have not lost their determination. And so, yeah, that's going good. If you have any questions about that, our website is yourflexappeal.com. And just click on the Team Fearless Training Academy tab or shoot me a message on any of my social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, that stuff, and I'll get back with you as soon as possible.
Okay, and that's at Lodi One. Let's see, Lodi One Brad?
Lodi One Brad's my name across the board on social media. Yes, sir.
Okay, that's perfect. All right, so January 12th, 1985, what's going on in the big world of professional wrestling? You know, normally we do that, but, you know, normally we talk about everything else that's going on in the North American wrestling business. However, when you go all the way back to 1985, there's actually a lot going on, so I'll try to run through this. World Class Championship Wrestling had done done their Friday night show on the 11th in Dallas. On that show, it was Billy Jack Haynes defeating a young man by the name of Shawn Michaels. And then the main event was Ric Flair defending the NWA title against Terry Gordy. And before the match, Billy Jack, came out and told both wrestlers he wanted a shot at the winner. Let's see. You know, Terry Gordy shook his hand. Ric Flair kissed Billy Jack's girlfriend Sunshine, and Sunshine slapped Ric Flair. And then the match happened, and Ric Flair went on and beat Terry Gordy anyway. But that was, you know, that's what happened at the Sportatorium. Meanwhile, Saturday night, the 12th, the WWF is doing two shows. Their A show is in Philadelphia at the Spectrum in front of 14,000 people. On that show, you got David Sammartino beating Paul Orndorff by disqualification when Bobby Heenan interfered. And, of course, Lodi, that brought Bruno down to the ring. And you can guess what happened then. And in the main event, Jimmy Snuka and Tony Atlas fought Roddy Piper and Bob Orton to a double countout. Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
let's see. Any observations you have about any of these guys that you know, please feel free to chime in, by the way.
That is a pretty stacked card.
Yeah.
And as I looked over the January 12th episode from 1985, and we'll get into this, obviously,
yeah,
I was surprised at how many of those guys I've been in the ring with.
Okay. Yeah.
I had some personal experience with a whole lot of the card.
Yeah. The Fantastics we'll probably talk about in a bit, too. When that goes on, WWF's B show was in Detroit and they sold out Cobo Hall. It was Andre the Giant and Junkyard Dog fighting Big John Studd and Ken Patera to a draw. And the main event, Tito Santana beat the Intercontinental Champion Greg Valentine by countout. If anybody's wondering where Hulk Hogan was on this Saturday, Hulk Hogan was on his way back from Japan where he'd done a bunch of shots for New Japan. They were teasing a rivalry between him and Antonio Inoki. However, due to previous circumstances, they were not going to put Hogan in the ring with Inoki for any sort of title match. So a bunch of six-man tags going on there. Let's see. Meanwhile, in Jim Crockett Promotions, Saturday night, the 12th, their A show is in Spartanburg, South Carolina, at the auditorium there. Dusty Rhodes defeating Nikita Koloff by countout. Dusty was one half of the tag team champions. And in the main event, the U.S. champion Wahoo McDaniel beat the NWA World Champion Ric Flair by DQ. Some well-known people back then, Lodi.
Absolutely. Again, for me, growing up in North Carolina, we talked about this before, growing up on Mid-Atlantic Wrestling and the NWA, I had a chance. To me, that was one of the best times in professional wrestling with some really actually great characters and great wrestling. So I'm glad we're getting to see a lot of those guys and talk about them today.
Meanwhile, the B show was in Bassett, Virginia. On there, you saw the other half of the tag team champions, Manny Fernandez, defeat the Barbarian. And in the main event, it was superstar Billy Graham losing to Charlie Brown from Out of Town, who may or may not have been Jimmy Valiant, Lodi.
No.
Yeah.
Are you saying that might have been Jimmy Valiant?
It might have been. That's the rumor, you know.
I thought he lost a Loser League Town match.
Yeah, because... I know. You know how the internet is, though.
That was it. The internet stooged him off.
Yeah. Meanwhile, over in the AWA was busy. They did a TV taping in Winnipeg for Pro Wrestling USA. 5,628 turned out on Thursday the 10th. On that show, in the TV main event, it was Sergeant Slaughter beating Mr. Saito by disqualification when the masked superstar interfered and attacked Sergeant Slaughter, setting up a rivalry between those two. And in the dark main event, a big six-man tag, Lodi. It was the team of Jerry Blackwell, Greg Gagne, and Jim Brunzell defeating the team of the Road Warriors and Paul Ellering in a six-man tag. It doesn't say so here, but I'm going to guess that Paul Ellering did the job in that one.
I'm going to go along with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it wasn't all bad there. Meanwhile, Continental was doing their Saturday night show in Nashville on the 12th. I don't have results from this, but there's a lineup up. The Dirty White Boys and the Interns were fighting over the vacant Southern Tag Team titles. And the main event, Randy Savage against Eddie Gilbert. That might have been pretty good.
I'm sure from a wrestling standpoint, it was fantastic.
Yeah. All right. And meanwhile, Championship Wrestling from Florida Saturday night, they were in Nassau in the Bahamas. It was Brian Blair holding on to the Florida title, defeating Jesse Barr. And in the main event, a loser leaves Nassau match. It was Sweet Brown Sugar and Dutch Mantell taking on Crusher Khrushchev and Jim Neidhart. And judging by, I don't have results, but judging by the future lineups, I'm guessing either Crusher Khrushchev or Jim Neidhart lost the fall there. And I think they would wind up shortly. Crusher Khrushchev wound up shortly in Jim Crockett. And I don't remember exactly when Neidhart left for WWF, but it wasn't that much later, was it?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay, and meanwhile, the wrestling news at that point of time, let's see, the debut of Primetime Wrestling on USA Network happened that Tuesday night, replacing Tuesday Night Titans, which got moved to Fridays. That never made any sense. Dave Meltzer's reporting that the WWF is on pace to lose $7 million in 1985, which would almost surely put them out of business. Something changed in between January and the end of 1985, and I believe that something was called WrestleMania, which kept them afloat. Let's see. Also, the story is out that Sergeant Slaughter, after Sergeant Slaughter left WWF, he wanted to come back to Jim Crockett Promotions, and that idea was shot down by Dusty Rhodes, allegedly. So that's how Sarge winds up in the AWA. Okay, so I'm here with my good friend Shane Shadows, and I get to explain to Shane how Patreon works if you sign up at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Shane, you know that we've been doing this show for 6 years now and change. So you probably want, and the show is there for free on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts and basically and wherever your finer podcasts are aired. So you're probably wondering, what could a patron offer me? Well, I'll tell you what. How about ad-free episodes of the show before the show comes out for everybody else? I think that's a good start.
I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, that we had a bunch of shows that we did on Pro Wrestling Torch that were locked behind the paywall. And thanks to a deal we made, you get access on our Patreon to all the shows. All 324 episodes. Including stuff.
All 324?
All 324 episodes, including Jim and I doing the 92 Rumble and, the Wrestling Classic, which is probably one of our most enjoyed episode. WrestleMania's 16 through 20, all that stuff. All that stuff is in there. And the best part is it's relatively inexpensive, $4.50 a month on Patreon, and you get all of that. $10 a month is our Black Scorpion tier. You get all of that plus the bonus matches and bonus shows that we do. And I can point out, Shane, that no matter which option you choose, you'll get every time that Shane Shadows has guest-hosted Way Back Playback.
Wow. All that for $4.50?
I know. Let's see. There's
a heck of an entertainment deal for $4.50.
Usually we do the cultural stuff.
Of course.
You know what? We'll say it.
That's
we'll
what
hold
I always
for
say.
Time
That's
being.
What Bob Keller always
and
says,
and let's
too.
Go to the
he
ring.
Would definitely call you to check it out.
Since we don't have a full hour's worth of wrestling, we're going to do a bonus match.
Your source
to the, for
January
all the
5th edition of World Class Champions Wrestling, which you'll find in the territory section on the WWE Network.
If you go there and you go to the 1 minute and 30 second mark, you'll see the ring, you'll see Skandor Akbar and the Missing Link, and I want to say Mr. X in the ring. Lodi, is that also what you see?
Mine is paused right now. I don't have a shot up of the video.
Okay. Yeah, that's what
whenever you're ready to start, we'll go with it.
Okay. All right, so everybody, if you're with us, trust me, this will make sense. We're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And here we are. Reunion Arena, Dallas, Texas, taped Christmas Night 1984, Christmas Star Wars. All the major cards in World Class were called Star Wars. And this is a big six-man elimination match. Yes, Bad Street USA is playing, but Michael Hayes is not there. What you're seeing walking to the ring are Chick Donovan, Terry Gordy, and Buddy Jack Roberts.
I was on a show with Chick Donovan earlier this year.
Chick Donovan was a man.
He is still working.
Yep.
And he still has the same hair. And he still has the same haircut.
Well, why wouldn't he? Right. There you go.
Hey, when that's your gimmick.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for people nowadays to understand. This was Christmas night, and 20,000 people turned out to watch the wrestling show.
This crowd was hot, too.
Yes, they were.
They were absolutely hot for any good wrestling.
And that is Mark Lawrence. He's your ring announcer. He would later take over for Bill Mercer as the announcer. Okay, it's 45-minute time limit. Okay. Yes. And he's explaining, you know, how you eliminate somebody. I like the tuxes. Bill Mercer has one, and Mark Lawrence has one. But yeah, all this and the other matches we're going to watch, they're all from the same card. So, okay. There will be at least 3 men eliminated. Okay. Until one. Okay, somebody's leaving town too. This is crazy.
an extra stipulation in there.
All right, there he is, Skandor Akbar from Cairo, and he's got a cigar with him. All right. And this handsome gentleman is the Missing Link.
The Missing Link was jacked.
Yes. People didn't seem to like him, though.
He was not a likable fellow.
And Mr. X. Yeah. Well, who doesn't like Mr. X? I don't know.
From Parts Unknown. Big right. Secret.
Parts Unknown, there's turned out a lot of wrestlers over the years. There's Terry Gordy. He's got an X on his...
What's the story with the X?
I don't know. Maybe he's targeting Mr. X there. Buddy Roberts. Oh.
They're already going
Chick
at
Chick
it.
Donovan's already, yeah. Missing Link tried to sneak up on Chick Donovan from Santa Monica.
You can't sneak up on Chick Donovan.
Chick Donovan, one of those Santa Monica freebirds. I don't know. Yeah, they're ready to go. I have no idea where Michael Hayes is for this show, but obviously they're going to go without him. Loser leaves town. Is it like the first fall loser leaves town? Yeah. Or do all the losers leave town? I don't know.
That's a way to get rid of your roster.
That's a way to clear out the territory, yeah.
Exactly. Yep. We're doing so bad, let's just start over.
Okay. And I guess there doesn't look like there's a lot of rules in this one.
I think the rules are out the window.
Yep. Referees lost control of this one.
If you had to guess, who's going out first, Mr. X?
That would be my guess, yeah.
Mine too. I don't see him lasting very long.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, not with those punches, no.
We were both wrong.
Wait.
Link went out first.
No, it's only over the top rope. That's not a...
Oh, he didn't go over the top. My bad.
No. I don't think it's a battle royal or anything. I think you guys got a... That's what I think. I think you got a... Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. This is like a WCW stipulation match, you know, where the ring announcers put one set of stipulations up on the TV, then the ring announcer reads another one, and the TV announcers have a different set of stipulations. All right, all six of them are still in the ring. And he got thrown through the rope, so that doesn't count.
That won't count.
Nope. All right. There goes Buddy. Buddy's going for the pin. Nope. Yeah. Yep. Okay. There's NWA officials on hand, according to Mark Lawrence, from the Carolinas and from Florida.
Just to make sure it's on the up and up.
Yeah, of course. Well, they're here because Ric Flair is defending the title on the show.
Right.
Right. Which is an entirely different match, but you can probably catch it after. Yeah, you can find it. It's all on the network. Yep, Gordy. Oh no.
See, Mr. X is trying to throw Gordy out.
Yep. Doing heck. Yep. I guess that's Chick's pulling Skander Akbar out of the ring. There we go. Yeah, I mean, Chick Donovan. He lasted for. He's you'd see him on the old Georgia Championship Wrestling shows, and yeah. I mean, they kept going through when that WCW kept on. There, Chick Donovan was there. He put over everybody. You know, he just kept going. He's still going.
He is still going. Mm-hmm. There's a company I work for out of Georgia, Universal Championship Wrestling, and they bring him in. They bring Chick in quite often.
Oh yeah. Oh, here we go. Oh, that doctor is Dr. X finally gone or Mr. X? I think he might be gone.
We were right.
Yep.
We picked the first loser.
That's right. Well, I think, yeah, Chick Donovan better watch out here. Oh, there we go. My Buddy Roberts is going after. Wait, who's going? All right.
I don't see Gordy losing this, just looking ahead.
There's Buddy Roberts.
Right.
Oh, no, I guess nobody's eliminated yet because I saw Buddy leave the ring under, you know, go through the ropes to leave the ring. And we never actually saw Mr. X go over the top rope, so.
We didn't because he's back, so yep. We were wrong.
Yep. Well, he went out through the ropes that time. Oh, never mind. All right. let's see. Well, I guess we'll find out what happens. I have no idea. Oh, Chick Donovan's gone, according to Bill Mercer. Thrown out by Skander Akbar. Oh, no.
Well, Chick Donovan lost a Loser Leaves Town match. I mean, I that would be, you know, that would be the worst part is not that you're losing a Loser Leaves Town match, but you don't even get pinned. You just gets thrown out over the top rope.
Yep, and it's over.
Yeah, and it's done. Oh, well. So the Freebirds got to do this themselves. Oh.
Oh, look at there. Double clothesline.
There you go. All right. Oh, there you go. Buddy Roberts takes care of Mr. X, so we're 2-on-2. Oh, no. Now it's 2-on-1.
It is.
It's Gordy against the Link and Skandor Akbar. And Chick Donovan's distracting the ref, as one does.
I'm a little
not enough punches, I guess. Jeez. Oh, come on. Wow.
Just a ball of fire here.
Yeah, you don't want to, yeah, jeez. You don't want to put yourself in front of Terry Gordy when he's, you know. Especially 1985 Terry Gordy. Nope. Nope. No choking. No choking Terry Gordy.
Everything else goes, but the choking's...
Yeah, the choking and standing on his throat, that's frowned upon. Yes, it is.
You're not going to keep Gordy down.
Nope, not like that.
This crowd is going to erupt when he starts throwing guys out of the ring.
Yep. Oh, so here we go. They got him in the corner. Yeah, Buddy Roberts hasn't left ringside. Oh. Well, we got to be getting near the end of Akbar's in-ring career. I think, oh, there we go. He's not messing around.
There we go. The big rights again.
Now, I know Missing Link had a short run in WWF. I don't remember how far it is along from this. There we go. And for a very brief while, we had all three of the Freebirds in WWF. He was going for the spike on Skandor Akbar. Sadly, the Missing Link broke it up.
How old do you think Skandar is here?
Oh, geez. Let's see. He has a little less hair than I do, so I don't know. I'm gonna say maybe late 40s.
That's what I'm going with. I think you're correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's taking a lot of Ico Pro either, you know?
Not yet.
No. Here comes the Link. Oh. And Terry Gordy cleans house, as predicted. By Lodi. There we go.
What a baby. Right.
Wow. Look at those people. One of the things you wouldn't see today is you filled an NBA arena. You got 20,000 people there, and they're only showing like the first, you know, layer of fans.
Yeah, they're only going about 7 rows opposite the hard camera.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, you know, WWF, what they did very well is, you know, they showed the whole arena being full. They'd pan around. Okay. And that's there we go. Let's see it again. Wow. Yep. Yep. They got enough velocity to throw out Skandor Akbar there. Okay, we're gonna go ahead and switch to stop there and switch to January 12th. And while we're doing that, let's see. Actually, I just want to get to the beginning there. We'll get to 0 seconds, and I'll read what else is going on in 1985 in the big world. Let's see here. January 12th. Oh, yes.
Okay. New York Times bestsellers on January 12th, 1985. I know so many people care. The Talisman by Stephen King and Peter Straub, number one in fiction, number one in nonfiction. Iacocca, the autobiography of Lee Iacocca, because well, I don't know why, but that's what it was. Let's see here. Number one Billboard song on the U.S. charts. You want to take a shot at that, Lodi?
Number one song on the Billboard charts?
January 12, 1985. Tough one, I know.
Help me out.
Well, back, fourth week at number one, Like a Virgin by Madonna. Yes,
Madonna.
That's right. Madonna, I know. Yeah. This was her year, I think. Let's see. Oh, number one movie in the country for the fifth straight week. Maybe you can have a shot at this one. Starring Eddie Murphy and Judge Reinhold.
Ah, Beverly Hills Cop.
Very good. You are correct, sir. It's a very good movie. I read up about this. Apparently, originally the starring role was going to go to, of all people, Sylvester Stallone. And for whatever reason, Stallone, they didn't have enough money to do whatever Stallone wanted done. So they decided, let's give it to Eddie Murphy. Stallone took most of his ideas and made a movie called Cobra, which didn't do nearly as well for some reason. In the top news story, three U.S. soldiers killed in Heilbronn, West Germany, when a Pershing missile caught fire. That can't be good. Let's see. Pro football, the NFL is getting ready for Super Bowl 19 between San Francisco and Miami. For some reason, Super Bowl is set to be played in Stanford, which is 30 miles southeast of San Francisco. So I'm going to say the 49ers had probably a pretty big home field advantage there, Lodi.
I think you're right. Is that the year? Was that the catch to get them into the Super Bowl?
No, that was 82. That was 3 years prior to that with the catch. First of all, the game was like, let's see. Yeah, that was actually the Super Bowl. That was actually the day that Eddie Graham shot and killed himself. Mm. I know. Cheerful thoughts. NBA that night, the Los Angeles Lakers go to Detroit and lose 121-98. Isaiah Thomas had 30 points to lead the Pistons. Magic Johnson had 22 to lead L.A. Don't worry, folks. 1985, the Lakers won the championship, as they usually do. All right, so January 12th, 1985, World Class Championship Wrestling. We're at 0 minutes and 0 seconds. I've got a black screen. Lodi?
I'm in the same place, and I've got the Earth is up.
Okay.
Globe.
All right, so I think we're in the right spot. We're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. And this is the. By the way, we do a Twitter vote, Lodi, to see which show we're going to do. And I believe this is at least the third straight time the listeners' selection won the Twitter vote. And I know that they chose this. Whoever chose us for the reason of the big match we're going to see between the Fantastics and the Midnight Express. But there's some other good stuff on here too. Obviously, we're still going with the. I mean, this is still the 20,000 seat Christmas show that they're showing highlights from. But I mean, for 1985, this is a great intro. Yeah, the satellite and all the pictures and, you know.
Right.
Yep. And we're back.
Slamming Kamala.
That's right. Yep, but Kamala was, Kamala had already moved on to Mid-South by this time, so. Yeah. So our main event tonight is Kevin Von Erich against Chris Adams. Which is actually another big rivalry there. Right. Oh, yes. And they're going to show you highlights of Mike Von Erich's match, which they showed, which will come up next. So, yeah. Mike Von Erich gets a big push. Plus, you get Iceman King Parsons against Rip Oliver. There you go. All right. There we go. So, yeah, with David Von Erich passing away, Mike Von Erich gets a big push. Actually, the last match on the Christmas Star Wars show was Billy Jack and Mike Von Erich teaming up to face Gino Hernandez and Jake Roberts. And here they're going to show the finish for you, in case you missed it. And you got to give him credit. Not too many people have cleared out of the arena after the Ric Flair match. They're all sticking around to see what Mike Von Erich and Billy Jack can do here. So it's Billy Jack and Jake. I mean, I don't know if you spent time with Jake recently. I remember seeing Jake, you know, several years ago at WrestleCade when you were there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yep.
We see each other at reunion shows and things like that. And he is doing so well. I'm very proud of him.
I mean, that's unfortunately the bad memories of him were from. Let's see. We're from that Beyond the Mat movie.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. All right. And there's Jake when he's got the swagger and he's got the looks.
T's in the DDT.
All right. Yep. Billy Jack makes a save. Oh, poor Mike Von Erich. He's taking a beating. And up goes Jake. Oh. Oh, he walked right into the claw, Lodi. That's a bad idea.
You know, there are some things you don't do to a Von Erich.
Yeah.
Don't walk into the claw.
No, absolutely not.
I saw that earlier today when I was going over this so I could have some background of what was going on. Mm-hmm. And the first time I saw it, I'm like, how did he go into the claw? I went back and watched it. I'm like, I wonder who put that together.
Yep. That's it. Down for the three count. Mike Von Erich puts away Jake Roberts.
Jake doing the job.
Yep. Oh, let go of the claw.
To the claw. Yep. Not yet. Not yet.
Yeah, there we go. Here. Bronco had to pull him off there. Hey. All right. Hey. All right.
And again, a lively crowd. Yep. How many matches in total do they have this night? Do you know, Rob?
I think eight is what I want to say.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yep. Full house, yeah. I mean, obviously the focus was on Ric Flair and Kerry Von Erich's rematch, but yeah. They had a lot going on. As we're gonna see. There we go. All right. This is the Crippler Rip Oliver taking on Iceman King Parsons. Okay. This is the opener, apparently, for the whole show.
I agree with you on the ring announcer being a tux. It adds a little bit of class to the show. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, if you do it for the big shows too, I think it makes a difference.
Right.
Hey.
Iceman.
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, years. I mean, he'd be on every world class show, and then I think he did some work for Global after they started up, in the and USWA when they were in Dallas. He was a staple.
He was quite the athlete. I enjoyed watching him.
And if you go back and see some old Mid-Atlantic, you'll see him on there, too.
Right.
Yep. Here we go. All right. Here we go. Yep. Whoa. Yeah, Rip Oliver got his 15 minutes in WWF. He dressed up in a mask and put over the Ultimate Warrior on Saturday night's main event. He was the Super Ninja. And, you know, everybody who saw Rip Oliver thought, Super Ninja.
He's got the build for a Super Ninja.
That's right.
Not just a normal ninja, but a Super Ninja.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, nobody, you know, you're not going to be afraid of a normal ninja. But a Super right. Ninja, you know, you take a step back and just sort of, oh. Look at those kids. I mean, you know, everybody, it's just starting the show. Everybody's enjoying themselves.
Yes.
A lot of smiles. Well, Bill Mercer's talking about how the one-man gang is coming in January. And, you know, he doesn't know much about the one-man gang, but you really have to be something to be a one-man gang. I can't argue with that.
Watching this back today, I was surprised at how snug some of this work looked.
Well, you know, the Von Erichs always worked kind of snug, so. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Freebirds, when they were working with the Von Erichs, they worked snug. So I guess it sort of rubbed off on everybody.
Yeah.
All right, so talking about the Von Erichs briefly, Ross and Marshall Von Erich, do I remember them correctly? They're still around. I haven't seen much of them, but
I am not either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's. I mean, 2020 being what it is, you haven't necessarily seen much of anybody.
You're correct again.
All right. I mean, hopefully that's going to change, but it. I mean, this thing with a crowd of 20,000 people, it looks like that's going to be. That might be a thing of the past too, because it doesn't look like WWE is interested in doing a lot of touring after, you know, in 2021.
I heard that last week that the house shows might not come back anytime soon.
Yeah. And obviously WrestleMania was supposed to be at the new stadium in Los Angeles, which is huge from what I understand, and doesn't sound like maybe they're going to go back to Tampa. We don't know just yet. And I'd be fine with that because Tampa got cheated out of a big show. So
right. I would be hesitant to book anything in the next 6 to 8 months in California just because you don't know where they're going to go with a shutdown or
no,
restrictions agree. Or that kind of thing. I think that would be a futile effort probably.
And in just a couple of weeks, we're going to have WWE taking over the Thunderdome in St. Petersburg. Which is, if you've ever seen a baseball game there, it's as if somebody took a Costco and put a giant baseball diamond right in the middle of it. It's just, you know, there's a lot of space, which I guess is what they need.
When are they starting that? Is that December?
December 11th is what I heard.
Gotcha.
Oh, there we go. Up and over. And anytime we talk about the old shows here, we take those backdrops because they're really sort of a thing of the past.
They are. My kids don't even like learning them at the wrestling school.
Yeah.
It's one of those seldom used things anymore. Mm-hmm.
Which makes it more special when somebody does it today. Yeah.
Right.
I mean that's the thing with some of these old moves. They, you know, if you bring them back in, they come back around. They look new.
He's doing a great job with this headlock here. There's no room between his hands, his arms,
and
his opponent's face or head. And some of these young guys today, they try to put on a headlock, and it's so loose, and there's so much air and gaps between the actual hold and the person's head, you have a hard time believing it's being effective.
Well, I think that's good, too, because the cameras are getting tight shots of the headlock, and, you know.
Right, right.
I mean, that's what you want to be showing the people at home, that, you know, there's no space in there. Because, I mean, it doesn't take, you know, pretty much if you're a young boy, you've been in a headlock at one point or another, and you know what it's supposed to look like.
Yep. And I'm a stickler with my kids at the wrestling school for the little things that seem sometimes people get past and they decide to let go or they're sloppy with, and it really does not make you a great worker if you let the little things slide.
Nope. I mean, that's, yeah. Yeah, if, I mean, doing basic things well is something that, you know, is something that will endear you to a lot of promoters. Yep. There we go. Like selling, for one thing.
The most underrated thing in our business that we all should do more of.
Yeah.
We could back some things down a notch if somebody would sell something.
Yeah. I mean, I started out as a manager. I knew jack squat, but I figured, okay, if I can act like someone's hit me when they hit me, you know, that'll work.
And yes.
And if you're a manager, nobody wants to see you get offense anyway. So,
make it as realistic as possible.
All right.
Without shoot killing the other guy
or yourself. Yeah. All right. Oh. There we go. Yep. I mean, this is basic stuff, which the opening match often is, but it's working. You can hear the noise sort of growing as they go along here.
Yes. And the noise was not piped in.
Right. No, it wouldn't have occurred to them. Well, plus it wouldn't have sounded very good.
No, and they don't need it. Like I said, these guys, some of the later matches on this card get huge pops.
Yeah. I mean, it took an effort to lose this to lose this territory. Actually, it took it took the Von Erichs falling apart is what it took.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah. I mean, you can't always get them to believe wrestling is real, but you can get them to believe you are real. Once people didn't think the Von Erichs were real anymore, then that hurt a lot.
Okay. I was also impressed. This was not the opening match. This is the second match on the card. Is that correct?
Well, he said this was the opener. So,
this is the opener for the whole show.
Yeah,
they gave these guys a little bit of time. They got to go out and work. So, it was good.
I mean, it's not a pay-per-view, but everybody, if you're doing this show, everybody's going to get a little bit of time. Yeah.
Right.
Except for that Mike Von Erich match, which apparently went under 4 minutes. So
it was quick.
Yep.
But then again, you had an unsuspecting Jake Roberts walk into the claw. So
yep.
Of course it was less than.
There we go.
If he'll keep kicking, that's a pretty decent sell for that.
Yeah. Plus, you have Bill Mercer pointing out how, Rip Oliver was working on that elbow, and there you go. Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Big one. Oh, nope. Stay off him, Rip. Nope. Don't do it. Every territory had a crippler, by the way.
Yes. Mandatory. In your opinion, who is the best crippler?
Ray Stevens.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Got to be Ray Stevens.
I mean, I thought Chris Benoit was a heck of a worker, but Ray Stevens. Yeah. Yep. And here we go. Very nice.
We've had this discussion before. As you bring up Benoit, he was my first TV opponent at WCW.
I'm sorry. No, okay. Oh, here we go. Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Dennis Condrey.
Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton. Yep.
Okay. I have been in the ring with everybody in this match except for Tommy.
There you go. All right. You been in the ring with Bronco Lubitsch?
Maybe not the announcer or the ref. Sorry.
Okay, there we go. No, it's all right. All right, they're throwing out. I don't know the cameraman either. They're throwing out candy canes for Christmas. How about that?
Candy canes for Christmas. What a baby face move, huh?
Yeah, I mean, just go down to the store, get a whole bushel of them. Yep, brilliant.
I will have to give Bobby a hard time the next time I see him on that. I had not seen this before.
Ah,
there you go. How can we get over? And at that point here.
Yeah.
They were already over like Rover. They didn't need him. It's like, right. Really, guys? That's a bit of overkill.
Mm-hmm. Right. Hey.
And then you put them in there with a perfect heel tag team, with a perfect heel manager. And it's,
right.
This is about as easy as falling out of a boat and hitting water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anything, the issue with Jim Cornette here is his suit's too nice.
Yeah. Well, his mama was quite wealthy.
That's true. There we go.
How old was Dennis Condrey here? 137?
No. That's just how old he looks, but yeah.
Ah, okay.
I don't know. Yep.
You talk about two great looking baby faces.
Oh, yeah.
Tommy had a heck of a build on him. He looked good.
Mm hmm. Now, if this were WCW, they would not let them in there with both of them having the same color gear, both teams.
Pat, you may not believe me, but today when I sat down to watch this, that was my first thought.
Yep.
Because it was in our rule lists or things to do, whatever. I remember we used to get them, and you know, back then we used to get packages FedEx to us with our plane tickets, et cetera, whatever, and rules for, or just anything we need to know for the weekend. And that was always on there.
Yep.
Do not wear matching tights of the same color of as your opponent.
I know because I did an indie show and somebody left their booking sheet in the locker room. Who was working for WCW.
Yep.
So for a while there, I had the list of rules and the phone number to call to see who was going to be on. Yeah.
And that was not the 1-900 number, right?
No, the number where JJ would give out who was booked for yes. Where. Yeah.
Who forever a day as my name would roll by, he would always go Lodi.
Lodi.
always. You know, he's naming off all these guys, full names, whatever, and he did alphabetical order,
right?
Pretty much, and Lodi. Cornette was a heat magnet. He was great.
Oh yeah. Well, he's still a heat magnet, if you get right down to it.
Yes, he is.
There you go. Bill Mercer still talking about that Mike Von Erich match.
It's the Von Erichs.
I know.
All right, for fun and giggles, not counting titles or runs or feuds, out of these four guys, if you had to pick one as the best worker in the match, who do you go with?
It's not easy. I like Bobby Eaton, so I would say him. But, you know, I mean, it's not like any of them are bad, you know?
No.
Turn down any of them.
That was my whole point. And I agree with you. You know, haven't been in the ring with all of them except for Tommy.
Yeah.
I would have picked Bobby as the best all-around worker in there as well. But, you know, Bobby Fulton and Dennis Conner, they were all good.
Yep.
They were all good. And like we talked about earlier, the simple things, they do all the little things well.
Right.
It backs up to his partner. Look, he's still selling that shoulder.
Yeah.
Look, it's been 45 seconds after and he's still selling it.
Right.
I wish I could pay my kids to do that. Mm-hmm. It would make them so much better.
Hey, well, you know, maybe they need to watch more Bobby Eaton.
That's one good thing my kids do. They do a whole lot of video research and
right.
And they surprisingly they really like some of the older stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean something like this, you know, it's something like this is going to hold up. Not everything from, you know, I mean that's one of the running bits on this show. You know, I mean everything was, when people say everything was better in the old days, well, it wasn't, but some of it was. You know,
yes,
there'd still be goofy stuff going on, but. You know, guys who know to work, who know how to work, are always going to get over. Yep.
So I just did the math in my head. So this is 35 years old, correct?
Yes, it is.
Got you.
Almost 36, frankly. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're right.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. All right.
And did you hear the reaction he got for that?
Yeah.
A headlock takeover. Mm-hmm. Pat, a headlock takeover, and he got a pop.
The one thing that sort of distinguishes this from you know, from a lot of 80s shows that I've seen, you know, there are some good mullets, but, you know, really for the best mullets, I think late 80s and early 90s WCW has got to be it. There we go. Oh.
See? It's the little things.
Friendship was frowned upon back then. Here we go. Okay, so the Fantastics have the American titles.
Yes, sir.
And the Midnights are going after him.
If you've got these guys fighting for your underneath tag belts, who are the champs?
I don't know. That's a good question. Let's see.
Yep. There we go. They turned it around. I mean, the other thing was Bobby Eaton kind of looks the same.
You are correct again, and a lot of these guys have somehow, like you said, maintained the mullets or maintained that look. Just last week, somebody posted on Twitter. It was the first year he broke in the business. It was 1982, and it was a guy out of Rome, Georgia, named Marty Lundy.
Oh, yeah. Looked exactly the same. I think I saw what you saw, yeah.
Yeah, and he was wrestling JYD under a hood.
Yeah.
And it was funny, my kids, you know, we get to see Arn quite often being here in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And one of my kids was like, Arn has figured out the secret of anti-aging. I said, yeah, but because he still looks the same.
Yeah.
But the problem is you're born at 54. Arn looked old his first year in the business.
Yep, he did.
I think he had less hair then, too. I don't know what he did there along the way.
Well,
but, you know, in that a minute and a half squash to JYD Underhood.
Yep. And there was that brief period where Arn and Bobby Eaton were teaming together, and you're sitting there wondering, well, how did this not happen sooner?
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, back in that era, you learn how to do tag team wrestling, you'd always have a spot.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that that's necessarily the case anymore.
It is not. I would like to see more tag team wrestling coming back, and hopeful the Carolina boys, FTR, can keep that going. They're doing a great job.
They are doing a fantastic job.
And they are huge marks for the old stuff.
Yep.
Have known, as his name now is, Cash Wheeler. No, it's not Cash Wheeler. It's Cash. Is it? Is it Cash Wheeler?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Dax Harwood.
Yes, real name's Daniel Wheeler. But right. I've known him since he was 17, and he's a hardworking cat, and I love his work.
They might be listening right now, for all I know. Happy Thanksgiving, if they are. Or watching, really. Yeah, the only problem with this podcast is, you know, listening doesn't work as well unless you're watching. There we go. Although there's some people who do it.
The knee.
There you go.
Not the Alabama Jam, but the knee.
All right. Ah, the double team. I mean, there's really no better sex symbol in 1984 than Dennis Condrey, I think. Yep. Oh, man.
Did a little too close to your partners.
Drew and Bobby Fulton there.
Draw him in.
Yep.
Somebody come over here and cut Tommy off.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Quick little trivia for you. The last time I was in the ring with the Midnight Express, this actual team you're looking at right now.
Yes.
Of beautiful Bobby and Dennis Condrey. Mm-hmm. I was in a three-way tag match in somewhere in Virginia, and the promoter was a big stickler for it. He wanted to really lock the cage.
Spotsylvania. You're in Spotsylvania. I think I was there. I lived in Virginia then.
I was going to say, I thought it was Spotsylvania. If it was Spotsylvania and it was the beautiful Bobby and Dennis Condrey, who was the other tag team against Lenny and I, the West Hollywood Blondes?
Oh,
do you remember?
Oh, geez.
We had a three-way in a cage.
Yeah, you did, which made no sense, but who cared?
You want me to help you out here? It was the Steiners.
Yeah, oh, gosh, yeah.
It was the Steiners, and, you know.
I was confused because I know there was we used to go to Spotsylvania a bit. There was another time we went there, and I think it was the Steiners against LAX, which was fun too. But yeah. Huh.
Yes, yeah. We were in a cage, and Midnight told us early on, they're like, we are going to get put out about a minute and a half in, we'll get a little color, and we're done.
Smart guys.
Like okay.
Yep.
And a funny story, if you don't know much about the Steiners, if the two of them aren't getting along, mm-hmm. And they're brothers, so it happens. Yeah. You know, when everything's great, they're thick as thieves. But if they're not getting along, they're not fun to be around.
Mm.
and they were actually getting dressed in opposite locker rooms, like on the opposite ends of the gym. They were not even close to each other.
That's not good.
Yeah, they were not in a good mood. We walked in, Lenny and I did, to see Scott. And like, hey, Scott, what do you want to do? And he uttered some choice words for us and basically ended up saying, go ask my brother.
Yeah.
Okay, so we go down the other end, see Rick there, and the same thing. We asked him, hey, Rick, you know, what do you want to do? Use a couple choice words and said, go ask my brother.
Great.
So we went to the ring knowing the Midnight was going to be out in a minute and a half. And we're going to be shoot locked in his cage with the Steiners, not knowing what's going on. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they got taken out and the ref and the guy locked the cage back up, it's us standing across the ring from the Steiners. And Lenny leans in. He goes, you know, if they wanted to right now, they could kill us and nobody could save us.
I said, yeah.
Yep. You are right. It was, you know what? We called the whole thing in the ring and it was great. It was easy. Yeah. But it was one of those things like, you know, we don't have a whole lot to say right now what's going about to go down.
Well, I mean, you know, I can imagine, and actually you'd hear stories about, you know, the enhancement guys go in there and they see the Steiners on the sheet and the Steiners are in a bad mood. You knew things were not going to go well.
No, that's the day you might want to call in sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. There we go. Tommy Rogers. Oh, wow. That's how you do it.
The hot double sunset flip.
Hot tag is kind of a lost art, kids. That's how you do it.
Yeah. If you're a young baby face and you want to know what you're supposed to do when you come in on the hot tag, that's it.
And one of these weeks we'll have to do Clash of Champions 1, which was Fantastics and Midnight Express. Yeah. All over again in Crockett. There we go. All right, Bobby Fulton gets the pin, and there we go. Fantastic retain.
Good finish, and the crowd goes absolutely wild.
He pulled the tights.
Yeah, look at all the people standing up.
Cornette getting air on those jumps. That's
Corny still had good knees, huh?
Yeah. They wouldn't get ruined for a couple years there.
Right.
3 years, actually.
Starcade.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. there we go. That's fun for the whole family there.
That is it. That was a good match.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the fans start throwing things in the ring. That's awesome.
Well, yeah.
You know you're over as a heel when...
They're throwing stuff when they're throwing their paper cups.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one. Yeah.
All right. All right. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Gary Hart. Still in a. Kevin Von Erich going after Gary Hart. Oh, Kevin Von Erich? Okay. Yep.
Super kick.
This is how it all started.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Chris.
Yep.
I, of course, worked with Chris at World Championship Press, WCW.
Wonderful and, guy here, yeah.
He was, and we had a house show match one night, just the two, you know. And it was the first time we'd ever been in the ring before. And I was still really, really green and thought I knew everything, but he did such an amazing job at leading me to a really good match. He was a heck of a hand in the ring.
Yep. Texas Stadium. Okay. Kevin says if you fire Gary Hart, we'll bury the hatchet right now. Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen.
Any idea what the house was on this show?
Not off the top of my head. Let's see.
Okay.
This is what the day Kerry won the title?
From Flair.
Yeah.
Did he win that with a small package?
I won it with a backslide, if I remember.
Yes, you're correct. It was the backslide.
Okay. Yep. Oh, here we go. Now, I don't think Chris Adams is going to take him up on it.
Now, that looks a little stiff.
Yep. Mm. All right, let me see here. Oh! That's how Gary Hart lost all his hair. The end.
Yeah.
Oh!
We got a pretty stiff chair shot coming up here after the drop kick. Right. Thank goodness we don't do this anymore.
No. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. All right, so now that we've seen the build, we're going to see the match. Our main event is up next. Okay. Lumberjack match.
It was a lumberjack
because match. This needed a stipulation, I guess, on top of everything else. All right, here we go.
Is it true that Vince Russo's grandfather booked this territory?
No. No, not unless David Manning was Vince Russo's. Yeah.
All right.
May 6, 1984, attendance 50,000, 43,500 paid.
In Texas?
Yep.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's a heck of a crowd.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you can only pull that once because second parade of champions, 26,000. And then, you know, yeah. Okay. Yeah, they need to get that. That whole show needs to be up on the network. And here we go in Lumberjack match. Kevin Von Erich, Chris Adams. And out we go.
Any idea? Just rough guesstimate. How old was Von Erich here?
Kevin?
Yeah.
Rough guesstimate. I'm guessing he's in his late 20s. I mean, I'm going to have to look now. Jeez. There we go. Up and back. That's how you get people used to the rules of the match. You throw them out, they throw them right back in until everybody expects it. I mean, stipulation matches shouldn't be that hard to do. Then again, camera work shouldn't be that hard to do, but there you go. He got it. Okay. Yeah, yep, Kevin Von Erich, actually 27 years old when this match is taking place.
There you go. Good call.
Yep.
And here comes the claw, but he's in the ropes.
Nope. I put right back in. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. There's the app. That's a fired up Chris Adams there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Looking for some heels. Let me throw this guy out.
Yep, there we go. He liked a good super kick. There you go.
Oh, another super kick.
Yeah.
What was that, baby face? No, kidding. Heel doing a flip in the ring and showing off.
Yeah.
Shame on him.
All right, and nope.
Big kick out by Von Erich. It'll take more than that to keep him down.
That's right. Okay. Oh, yeah. You know, Chris Adams kind of looks like at this point. Looks a little like Dynamite.
Ah.
I'm not saying all British wrestlers look alike, yeah, but...
But they at least favor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Jeez. Yeah, I mean, you just think of how much talent got lost in world class from, you know, I mean, not only all the Von Erichs, especially David Von Erich, who was the best of them.
Right.
Yeah, you know, but I mean. You look at Gino Hernandez, who should have been one of the biggest stars in the business.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there you go. Yep, there we go. Oh.
The crossbody off the top.
All right. Hey. And yeah. And if you see, yeah, you know, he's not quite Matt Riddle, but there is kind of a, you know, there's kind of a similar style there. All right. Now they're gonna. Okay, we got the. Where's the part where the lumberjacks start brawling with each other?
Oh, that's inevitable. You know that has to happen, yeah, at some point. Formula for every lumberjack match.
All right. Oh. Oh.
Now, this got confusing to me earlier today.
Right.
No cover after the pile driver.
You're going up.
I'm going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a pet peeve of mine with my kids. As good as Chris is, that's a pinch. Why wouldn't you cover him? Now, this looked ugly, too. Watch this.
Yeah, that is
ugly. On him. That could not have felt good to have his knees and shins go across you. And then watch this.
That's three. Kevin Von Erich. Well, I mean, oh, no. And attack him after the bell. Oh, no.
The claw.
The claw.
Of course. The claw, Daddy, the claw.
And get it, breaking it to go after Gary Hart. Oh, no. Oh, he got Gary Hart's boot off.
Oh, this is not going to bode well.
All right. Okay. Mike Von Erich with the save.
So what do you think the spot in the corner was supposed to be, Pat? Was he supposed to drop him across the top ropes and then just pin him when he bounced off?
I think so. I think he wasn't supposed to land there, would be my guess.
Right. Okay.
Supposed to be like more over to the center.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I mean, Kevin probably should have pulled him in a little bit towards the center of the ring.
Yeah, because he was actually, it looked almost under the rope, or definitely could have reached out or put his leg or hand there. Just bad ring positioning and just didn't pull off that move before that very well.
All right. There you go.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Kevin Von Erich gets your win. Well, major show, the Von Erichs, you know, might win some matches on it.
Pretty much like the sun coming up tomorrow, the grass is green. Yeah. Big show in Texas. Von Erichs are over.
Oh, I'm going to show it again. Right, oh.
Yeah, so here's the deal. I don't understand. See how his knee came across his face?
Yeah.
His left knee and shin, and then the back leg went right across his chest. That's not fun to have a guy that weighs that much falling on top of you. Sorry.
No, he's not a particularly big guy to begin with. So.
Right.
Yeah, not a lot of padding there. Hmm. Yeah, but that's how somebody watching home can go, wow, that must have hurt, you know?
Absolutely.
Because it hurt.
Without a doubt, it hurts.
The Von Erichs are my champions.
There you go. Well, that was fun.
Yeah. Here we go. All right. Yep. Okay. And now the wrap-up. Up next week, if you move to the next episode, Ric Flair defending against Terry Gordy, as we talked about. Fun little match. Yep. And, I mean, that's one of the great things about wrestling back then. You could have a Ric Flair as a champion going from territory to territory. You can, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Keep track of them that way. Okay. Yes. Okay. Big win for Kevin Von Erich. Okay. Okay, and they, yeah, and they have the little thing at the end on World Class where they recap everything that you just saw.
Good deal.
Because it's like a post game show. I mean, they do that at the end of boxing cards too. You know.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Keith Mitchell. Okay, so the next big show, for World Class, or the next show, actually, Monday the 14th in Fort Worth, Texas. And it was, let's see, Mike Von Erich beat Jake Roberts, and in the main event, Kevin Von Erich beat Chris Adams. So, not really a whole lot of surprises there, but World Class kept going. Let's see. I think the next big bad break they had was losing Mike Von Erich. And, yeah. And things just, yeah. Well, I mean, the whole history of World Class Championship Wrestling has been, you know, covered ad nauseum, I'd say. There's a, you know, Triumph of Tragedy of World Class, if you haven't seen it. But they put on some fun shows, and that was one of them.
Yeah, they had some good talent on that card. That was great.
Bored of wrestling podcasts, but still want a little bit of wrestling talk? Well, It's Usually Hello is the show for you. We've got music debates, we've got comedy bits, we have some wrestling talk, we've got watch-alongs, we've got actual celebrity guests. Check out It's Usually Hello, the podcast, on YouTube and on iTunes, and all your best podcast and listening devices. It is, without a doubt, the funniest show in the history of podcasting, allegedly. And that's not just my opinion, that's also the fake opinions of the fantasy people that I see 24/7. Don't forget to leave the 5-star review, because there's only so many fake accounts one person can make.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Okay, now, this is the part where we normally determine what we're going to watch on next week's show, Lodi. So, we put up a vote, and put up the options on Twitter at RealPatMcNeil, MCNEILL, and let everybody take a shot at it. So the way it works is I'm gonna get a choice. My co-host is gonna get a choice, which is you, and we get one from the listeners and one chosen at random from the randomizer, which everybody loves. All right, so the listeners going first. One of our Black Scorpion tier listeners is Paul Hanley, and Paul really wanted what he really wanted is WWF Armageddon 1999, the final WWF pay per view of the century, of the millennium, actually. On that show was the New Age Outlaws defending the tag team titles against the Rock and Sock Connection. And the main event was the huge family rivalry, Vince McMahon versus Triple H. I think first time that we had a McMahon versus, you know, McMahon family match headlining a WWF pay-per-view. But that was quite a spectacle. So I think that's a perfectly decent choice.
That's all right.
Okay. All right, Lodi. So anything 15 years or older that we haven't 15 years old or older that we haven't done is fair game, as long as it's on the network or on YouTube somewhere. What do you feel like?
WCW's Fall Brawl 1998.
Fall Brawl 1998. Let's see. Is there anybody I know on that show?
Absolutely. Okay.
That was a show right before Halloween Havoc 98, which we've done, and that's And I think based on that alone, that's a good choice.
If you don't remember it or haven't done that one before,
we have
that. The culmination of a couple of years of a storyline where in the eventually end, Saturn wrestled Raven to right. either set the flock free or be subservient to Raven forever. And that happened to be filmed or performed in Winston-Salem that day, which is, of course, my home state. Has yes, Winston-Salem. We grew about 45 minutes from there. And I had all of my grandparents were there, friends were there, family. It was a great show and probably the most fun match I ever had in the ring, the one I look up to the most. Just told a really good story. If you watch it, the false finishes at the end and the reaction from the fans is just something you don't see today, like, you know, kind of the reaction you were seeing on this. Mm-hmm. Just got great reactions. So that's going to be what I'll throw out there for today.
Okay, that works for me. Let's see what I'm going to pick. Well, we're getting towards December, and, you know, let's try to get something December-themed, but also want to get something with a guy who supposedly made his final appearance for WWE a few days ago, and that would be The Undertaker. So the December 13th, 2001 edition of SmackDown in from Bakersfield, California, you had Edge and Rikishi in tag team action against Kurt Angle and William Regal. You had a main event of The Rock and Rob Van Dam taking on Chris Jericho and The Undertaker. But perhaps more memorable than either of those, a certain brawl inside a supermarket between Steve Austin and Booker T, which I don't know if you remember that one, Lodi, but that was quite popular.
I absolutely do, and I was going to say that's a classic. So that's
and
a good one.
It's one of those ones that you look at all the stuff we haven't done, and well, sure enough, we haven't done that. So let's go ahead and pencil that in. So all that leaves for us to do is go to the randomizer, and we have all the thousands of potential shows that we can get off of the network on the big wheel, and so we're going to give the big wheel a spin here, hopefully. And here we go. Oh, no, I don't think that's the right one. I don't think that's the right big wheel sound effect. Doesn't sound like it, Lodi. I'm sorry. Okay, we give the big wheel a spin, and where is this one? I think it's this one. That sounds good. Okay. And like I said, thousands of choices on the wheel. There we go, the big wheel of the 6%, and we stop there to go past ECW, Mid-Atlantic, Mid-South, YouTube, Saturday Night's Main Event, and we stop at... Oh, we stop at one of Lodi's favorite shows, WCW Monday Nitro. And, unfortunately, this is not the episode of WCW Monday Nitro, which I wanted, or I don't think anyone wanted. It is the April 3rd, 2000 episode of Monday Nitro, which, in case you missed it, was a clip show. The best of Nitro because they had Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff coming back on the 10th, so... They had a clip show in an empty arena because, God forbid, you actually put on a wrestling show. Yeah, but
a wrestling program.
Yeah, I know. All right, so those are the but anyway, those are the options. We have we have Armageddon '99. We have WCW Nitro from 2000. We have SmackDown December 2001, and we have Fall Brawl 1998. I want to say, let me see, Fall Brawl. Wouldn't you normally get a War Games with that?
Yes.
Okay, so there was a war game. Okay, here we go. I'll pull this up for you. All right, Lawrence Joel, Veterans Coliseum, blah, 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 blah. All right, results. Okay, results. All right, so main event is Team War. Okay. And WCW versus NWO Hollywood versus the Wolfpack three-way war games match. Okay, that's pretty good. And the semi-main event here was, Saturn versus Raven, obviously. But Conan versus Scott Hall.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that could be a lot worse. Let's see. Yeah. Oh, and Rick Steiner versus Scott Steiner.
As we spoke about them earlier.
That's right. Okay. So a lot of stuff going on here. A lot of interesting choices. And we'll have up on Twitter at RealPatMcNeil. In the meantime, well, here we also point out that I'm at RealPatMcNeil on Twitter. Jim Valley is at Jim Valley. Let's see, and Lodi is at Lodi1Brad on Twitter.
Yes, sir.
And if you are so inclined, you can after you listen to the show, you can go leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us over on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Amazon Podcasts, or wherever your favorite pods are cast. And if you'd like to know more about Kevin Von Erich, Chris Adams, let's see, Iceman King Parsons, Rip Oliver, or Jake the Snake Roberts, you can go visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, wrestlingobserver.com, or you can go and download your local library app because they're all in books. Lodi, tell everyone again how they can get in touch with you.
Yes, Lodi1Brad on Facebook, Lodi1Brad on Twitter, and on Instagram. So if you guys have any questions about the wrestling school, that's all on our gym website called yourflexappeal.com. Go on there. There's a Team Fearless Training Academy app. I mean, tab. You just click on that. It'll give you all the info you need. And just get in touch with me if you need me.
And let's see, a lot more plugs. Facebook.com/WaybackPlaybackPodcast to say hi to all of us and to chat with all of us. Patreon.com/WaybackPlayback for as little as $4.50 a month. You can get access to ad-free shows. You can get to listen to shows early. And more importantly, you can get to listen to all 325 shows, including the shows that have been stuck behind the paywall for years. Thank you, Lodi, for coming out and doing the show with us. I appreciate it. I know Jim appreciates it. And we'll be back in 10 days, same way back time, same playback channel. Until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody, and happy Thanksgiving.